A homily for Corpus Christi Sunday. On this, what I would call the ultimate interlude Sunday, before we continue on the second part of the liturgical year's ordinary Sundays next week, we celebrate in a truly extraordinary way how the God who loves us without condition makes himself our physical nourishment each time Holy Mass is celebrated. Yes, at each Mass, simple elements of bread and wine miraculously undergo a transubstantiation to become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the second person of the Blessed Trinity. The body of Christ is the English translation of the Latin Corpus Christi, which is the traditional name given to today's celebration. Also called the Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament, Holy Communion, and even the Bread of Angels, the Church has used quite a few different names to refer to this supreme act of love on God's part. That works of our human hands can become God himself in a very real and true way is indeed a miracle. And this miracle happens every single time the Mass is celebrated by an ordained priest of the Catholic Church. I don't think we appreciate enough just how accessible God has made himself to us in instituting the sacrament for our benefit. Far from being the God of the deist who creates and leaves creation alone after that without doing anything more for it, our God has not only become involved in his creation by entering it in the person of Jesus Christ to redeem it, but has gone even further to make himself so accessible to us from the moment of the celebration of the Last Supper with his apostles, and from then on. Indeed, he has become involved and accessible. In so doing, he has left us a piece of himself, so that from that moment of time onward, we are truly never without his presence in the world. While we human beings value and even protect our privacy so much and try to limit free access to our time and our presence and our resources by limiting the ways that others can gain access to us, God in the sacrament does just the opposite. He makes himself so present and easily available to us to be encountered by us. Now, why is this so? The reason comes from what we celebrated last Sunday on Holy Trinity Sunday. Last week, we saw how God, who in his essence is love, love that has no limit in giving and receiving in his three persons, was the reality that we are steeped in. And herein lies its relevance to this Sunday's celebration. The reason God makes himself so present to us in the Eucharist is because he is love and that he loves us. We need to go a bit deeper into this truth about love and unpack it, as it were, especially the love that is at the level of God's love, to appreciate this in a better way. You see, when love is pure, when love is unconditional, as it is with God's love, then the deeper the love, the deeper also the risk. Now, what do I mean? When one gives love in a total and unconditional way, one risks it not being returned in the same way. And one also then risks, among other things, that the love given is unrequited, maybe abused, taken for granted, spurned, rejected, denied, and so on. This is so true for human love and the way that we humans have experienced love with one another. But God's love for us entails God to also take the same risks that can end up with a kind of weak or tepid or deficient response from us. And this is true in the way that humankind has treated the Blessed Sacrament, which is most unfortunate. Up and down the centuries since the Church began, when Jesus instituted the Eucharist, God's love and real presence in the Holy Eucharist has been similarly unrequited, abused, underappreciated, spurned, rejected, and yes, even denied. Think of the many millions of ways we human beings have denied that God has truly become food for us in his real presence and have rejected this doctrine of love and made it to only be a mere symbol at best. Think of the millions of sacrilegious communions that have been made through the centuries, despite the Church's clear teachings that one should be in a state of grace when receiving Holy Communion. Now, this is not a judgment on anyone, but just by looking at the lines at the confessional, compared to the lines formed for Holy Communion at every Mass, one can easily come to one of two conclusions. Either many are making sacrilegious communions, or we have a very holy and sanctified congregation each time Mass is celebrated. If it is the former that is the truth, then it is also true that God still continues to let his love be given such a cold and disrespectful response. But, on the other hand, just as love risks being rejected, spurned, and unrequited, there are also the most heartwarming and positive examples of holy men and women who have responded not only well, but with deep affection and valor to God's love that is on full display in the Blessed Sacrament. There have been heroes of our faith who have risked life and limb to ensure that Jesus' real presence in the consecrated host do not fall into the hands of those who are determined to desecrate our Lord and, in times of war, to treat him with disdain. A true story of this was once related by the late Bishop Fulton Sheen, where in China, during the Boxer Rebellion, the country was being purged of religious influence. In a parish, a priest was arrested by the authorities, and before leaving the church, the soldiers opened the tabernacle and scattered the 32 pieces of consecrated hosts onto the ground and walked away. Unbeknownst to them, there was a girl who was hiding at the back of the church, witnessing all this. Every night from that first night, for 32 nights, the girl would spend time in silent adoration before the consecrated hosts and used her tongue to consume one host every night. She carried on this act of love for the Lord right up till the last piece was consumed from the floor. And that was when she was caught by a soldier and beaten to death. Bishop Sheen said that when he heard that story, he promised the Lord that he would do a daily holy hour for the rest of his life, and he kept to his promise. As well, I'm very, very sure that this daily appointment, which he kept unbroken till his death, was what helped him in his pursuit of holiness. I'm sure that there are plenty more of such stories of heroism and faith that attest to how Catholics have done much to return their love to God for having loved to the point of giving himself over to us in such a risky way. Apart from love being the reason Jesus gives himself to us in such a direct and physical way in the presence of the Eucharist, it has also a lot to do with our natural physical condition as human beings, in that every one of us needs nourishment and food to survive. Indeed, as the saying goes, we can't just survive on love and fresh air. Hunger is something universal to us, and God is saying something that addresses our universal hunger and thirst for him. St. Augustine's famous quotation comes easily to mind when he says, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." This restlessness that St. Augustine speaks about, this restlessness that seeks to be satisfied with so many earthly delights and passing thrills, is such a common experience. It is this hunger that God is addressing and has us wanting to find its resolution and fulfillment in having intimate relationship with him. That's what Holy Communion is in its purest essence. That upon receiving the Lord on my tongue and ingesting him in me, I am in an intimate union with God that makes it a holy communion. When I am aware of the power of just how truly awesome this union of the Creator and creature is each time communion is experienced, then Jesus' words in today's gospel becomes true in a most remarkable and also humbling way. He says, "Just as I draw life from my Father, whoever eats me will draw life from me." I know that in truth, many things and thoughts can easily come into one's mind after receiving Holy Communion at Mass. If one doesn't put effort into realizing what had just happened, one can be as nonchalant and unaffected by it and just pop that piece of white confection made up of flour and water into the mouth and go back to the pew, not unlike how a person may even pop a Tic Tac into the mouth and think nothing about what one has gone through. But if one is putting effort into realizing that one has just received God Himself into a sinful body, and it was a supreme gesture of love on the part of God that wanted this to happen, it makes all the difference between the action of popping a Tic Tac and the reverence that one gives to make sure that one's heart is at that point in time full of love and gratitude to God for the miracle that one was granted the ability to participate in. This is when effort makes all the difference. Why? Because effort equals love. Then it will dawn on the communicant that because God broke his body on the cross for every single one of us sinners, it becomes not only an invitation, but an imperative for us to become just as broken in my life for my brothers and sisters in the world. And when this happens, Eucharist stops being just a noun. Eucharist becomes a verb. And I don't just receive Holy Communion, I become Holy Communion to a world that is hungry and thirsty for God to be real and present in me and through me when I have Christ with me. There is so much talk these days about superfoods, I'm sure you know that. And there is an incessant comparison about whether it is nuts that are the better superfoods, or is it berries, or leafy greens, or avocados. We want foods that offer the body the best of nutrition, health benefits, and energy for the body's best functioning. In the Eucharist, Jesus himself is saying that as he draws life from the Father and wants us to draw life from him, he is the superfood of the superfoods, because he doesn't just nourish our bodies, he feeds our souls as well. I pray that the words of this homily serve to renew your faith and love for the Eucharist, so that when the time comes for us to come back to public celebration of the Mass, when churches are reopened, the response that we give to God at Mass and in Holy Communion will be so much more elevated and see us not just attending Mass, but being Mass as well. God love you all.